All right, good morning, everybody. Hey, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me over there? Woo! Come on, here we go. Who's had their coffee yet? Are we here with our coffee? All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bird Park Church. Man, I'm getting used to this whole outdoor church thing. Am I right? Are we ever going to go back inside? I don't think so. All right, we got the island life out here. We do church outside. And welcome. It is good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. Hey, a couple things. We got this very cool QR code on the table there. There's also one at the entrance. And feel free to scan that with your smartphone. And you can read along the lyrics as we worship today. Really cool. Check that out. QR code there on the table. Guys, I don't know about you. Anybody need this today? I know about y'all, but man, I find after this week, you know, I need a little bit of just a refresher on God. I need a little reintroduction. You know, when I came out to the island about 5.5 years ago, which is crazy to say, I felt God say, Reed, I brought you to the island to reintroduce you to myself. Because I'd already known God, and he obviously knew me from the dawn of time. He knows our name, right? Forever. But sometimes we lose sight a little bit. And I need a reintroduction today, guys. I don't know about you. Just that revival, a little bit of awareness of, hey, you know what? I'm not fighting flesh and blood. There are powerful forces at work that want to take me out this week. I need a little bit of a kickstarter here today on Sunday. Get that going and give us the strength to make it through the week. I just want to say, as the band comes up, we're going to be singing some pretty powerful stuff today. I love this line out of one of our songs. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of the King. Amen. Are you ready to sing and shout the greatness of the King? Come on. It doesn't sound like it. Come on. Here we go. All right. Let's worship, guys.
That is awesome. Well, let's do just that and turn our attention and our praise to him. We'll let my drummer, Reed, here get settled in his spot. Again, it's so great to have you guys here. As you need to, stand, sit, however you want to praise and give your attention and love to the Lord, feel comfortable doing that. Let's worship. Now that death has died, all of creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. The sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive. Creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. The sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive. You are my God above, Savior of mankind. You are victorious.
yours, and your life is mine. I'm claimed by the cross, and I live by your life.
My life.
And my life is yours, and your life is mine. And I'm claimed by the cross, and I live by your life. Now that death has died, all of creation cries, holy, holy is our
everywhere I
God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Forever we sing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Forever.
Yes, that's right. Amen. Glory to God.
Good morning, everybody. You can have a seat just for a moment. We're going to continue worshiping this morning. And Reed, thank you for that very powerful welcome. Buddy, you know how to kick this party and get it started. Welcome to Bird Park Community Church. And to all of those of you in golf carts, and those of you joggers and golfers and everybody else, welcome. Thank you to our sound team, the parking lot crew, the flower team. We have a flower team, my friends. You're outside. You got to have a flower team. And to all of you who have made the sacrifice to be here this morning amidst what the world is seeing and happening, you've chosen to come out here, and we're grateful for that. And we're taking we're taking the right precautions, and we're thankful that you are meeting your needs here spiritually and coming out. My name is Pastor Andrew. I have the joy of sharing this pulpit with other men here and other worshipers this morning, too. And last week, hearing from Pastor Ron in regards to allowing the Holy Spirit and His light to shine into those dark places or those places in the temple that needed cleaning and repairing. And the temple of our bodies and the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells to get those things straight. And this week, a chance to process that. I had a chance to go camping a couple of nights with not just my family, but Pastor Enrique's family, too. Santa and Janae and Reed and some others, they all came out. And we had a chance to just reconnect with our families. And there was this one point with this incredible camping trailer that Enrique has. What are you laughing at? Okay, no one's seen it. Okay, it's good. You got to see this trailer. It's epic. But anyway, just like most trailers, there's this little propane area in the front there where you take a power supply and push it through some different types of tubes and hosing and cables that would run through to power your unit back there. And he had some propane, and it had it needed some adjustment, needed some new material, some new hosing in there. And for a few minutes, I just went over to see what I could do and if I had any tools or whatever to help him out. And there was a few things that were laying on the ground next door that he had kind of laid out that could fit into changing this propane housing. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on. So what happened here is we began to take something from the ground, replacing something up top that was worn out. And it looked like it would fit. And after about 20 minutes of trying to make this hosing fit, we realized it doesn't fit. But it looked like it would. And then we tried something else, another piece here and another before. We tried like four or five different combinations before Enrique pulled back for a minute. He goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to town. I'm going to fix this whole thing up prefab. I'm going to bring this back, and I'm going to put in a whole new unit. You know where I'm going with this as a pastor, right? And I'm just letting all of us know this morning that the pieces in our life and some of these moments, like right now here, as we're going through all the protocol of this pandemic and everything, some of these things just, they seem like they would fit in our life right now. But when you get down to it and you try to make sense of it all, you're going, this doesn't quite work. And God stands back and watches this. And wants us to realize there is no waste in God's economy. All of these pieces in our life that don't seem to make sense with all the tough decisions we're having to make, some of them family related, and some of you are grieving the loss of family and others through this thing that's happening to the entire world. And God says it fits, my friend. On the tapestry of your life, as you step back, it may look like this one horrific moment or chapter, but guess what? In the overall scheme of things, it fits. I've prefabbed this, and it goes together. You can't see it right now, but it does. He's got a portion of scripture this morning looking at Nehemiah, who saw vision in something that was very much dilapidated, but there was risk, there was challenge, and there certainly was opposition to all of it. The scripture he's looking at this morning, Enrique is going to be sharing in a few minutes, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, under the cover of night, Nehemiah says, I went to the valley gate towards the dragon's fountain, to the dung gate, looking over the walls of Jerusalem. I had to look up the dung gate. You know what I'm saying? I was like, is that really what it says there? Yeah. The gate's unusual name, from refuge, possibly dumped there in antiquity, just leftover things from the altar, where the prevailing winds could carry the odors away, similar to driving down Pebbly Beach as you pass Edison into what's called the dump road, I think it is, right? You ever taken a whiff and you're going, okay, yeah, don't do that too often. This had been broken through, and his gates had been burned up. I then crossed to the fountain gate and headed for the king's pool, where there wasn't enough room for the donkey I was riding to get through. So I went up to the valley in the dark, continuing my inspection of the wall. Nehemiah's checking things out, folks. He said, I came back through the valley gate. The local officials had no idea where I'd gone or what I was doing. I hadn't breathed a word to the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the local officials, or anyone else who was going to be working on the job. This guy had a plan, and he kept it incognito, my friends. Then I gave them my report. Here it is. He took a good look at what he was looking at, and he said, face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come. And that's where it turns the corner. Are you ready? Are y'all awake this morning? You ready? He says, come, let's build a wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. I'm done with it. I have a vision. And I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. My friends, I cannot wait to hear this message this morning. It's all I have to say. The last verse says, they said, we're with you. Let's get started. They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. Are you ready for the good work this morning? Are you ready for the good word this morning? I hope so. Enrique, this is your pulpit. We're going to continue worshiping for right now, and then we'll worship also in our message this morning. Good morning, and welcome to all of you this morning.
So we will continue in some worship here. Sing in silence. God of mercy.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine. I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies. These I wanna be close.
And we ask that you would seal it upon the work of your Spirit to stay in rhythm with your Spirit and to step with you each day and in each way in our lives. Lord, it is so beautiful, the songs have been singing. The Great I Am is in our lives, it is in our midst. And so you can do anything and everything you want in our life. Nothing is impossible, but yet we wander and yet we drift. But Lord, seal our hearts onto you. Fan the flames in our heart by your word this morning to walk in that goodness of God that we've been singing and praising you in. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, for just this awesome blessing of being able to spend time together as a family, worshiping the same Father, right? Being together in His name. I brought this bag up because I have a couple little things that I'm going to speak of in a little bit of time. But I wanted to first start off with saying thank you to Pastor Ron, the message that you shared last week.
Amen.
And the reason my wife says amen, amen, is because we took it more to a practical level. We went home and we started to organize a couple areas that were in desperate need of organization. And so I had already cleared out my office the week before, so I was good with that. But we walked home, and so Santa's like, "Honey, what do you think we should do?" And I said, "Well, besides our own hearts and clearing that out, I don't know. Let's do something around the house." And so she says, "I'm going to do my closet. What do you want to do?" And I said, "You know what? The kitchen drives me nuts. You know, when I open the one door, there's like four or five pots and pans or whatever just come flying out." And they're on the floor and making all kinds of ruckus. And it's like, it drives me nuts. And then all the little plastic things, you know, that you put everything away. I close it and I jam the door, right? And just hope that, you know, it's not me, the next guy that opens it up. It's going to come down again. And so that's what we did. We worked on that afternoon. And you would be proud, Ron, to see what it looks like. But more than that, it was the spiritual process that God took us on. And that's what leads me to this message today. I feel like that message yesterday or last week was important for us to really look at what is it that is in the way that keeps us from the fullness of what God has. And what keeps us in this community, and in this country and in this world? What are the things that get in the way? And so I started looking at some scriptures, and the one that I came up with was in Nehemiah. The story of Nehemiah, they had there had been some restoration in that country, but Nehemiah had heard that the walls were torn down, and he was in another country, and the king had asked him what was going on, and he said, you know, my land is just a wreck, and this is going on, and this is going on, and he says, I really would love something to happen, and the king says, go ahead. And he goes to Jerusalem, and he sees the walls, as you had shared, Andrew. Everything was a wreck. And it's like I started thinking about those things and asking the question, God, what is it here, you know, in our town or in our country? And two things, of course, we were talking about the COVID thing that's happening, of course. But also in the midst of all that, there's this thing that this killing of this man, you know, by a police officer. And that has raised a lot of concern and other protests all over the world. And so I started to kind of like do a Nehemiah thing. I started typing and looking for different places around the world that were having to deal with this issue that happened here in the United States. And in other countries, they're marching and they're talking about these things. And so one of the things he says is, he says, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let's build a wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. And so I typed in and drew on the Google and started asking basically what's going on. What's the response of the world? How do they see us with what we're dealing with? And I came across a bunch of titles that said, you know, thousands protest George Floyd's death in a global display of solidarity. UN Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet said, this is the latest in a long line of killings of unarmed African Americans by U.S. police officers and members of the public. I was like, ouch. The U.S. authorities must take serious action to stop such killings and to ensure justice is done when they do occur. Procedures must change, prevention systems must be put in place, and above all, police officers who resort to excessive use of force should be charged and convicted for the crimes committed, she said. The role that entrenched and pervasive racial discrimination plays in such deaths must be also fully examined, properly recognized, and dealt with. The head of the African Union Commission, Moussa Faki Mahamat, condemned George Floyd's death in a statement, saying it firmly reaffirms and reiterates the African Union's rejection of the continuing discriminatory practices against black citizens of the United States of America. And then, of course, we've read about different countries in Britain, Germany, Denmark, Italy, Syria, Brazil, Mexico, New Zealand, Canada, Poland, Australia, Ireland. All these countries were getting together and basically in solidarity saying, you know, we have to change something. And I think that, I think in so many ways it's true and right that we need to look at these things, but we have to look at also the big picture of all of humanity. What is happening to us as people? What are we doing? And so, and the reason I felt like Nehemiah was important is because there were some things that they did that changed their land, that changed their city. And so God raises up this man, Nehemiah, to change this place. And we've had numerous people that were prophetic in that way also. We had back in the 60s, actually late 50s, God had raised up a man, Martin Luther King Jr., and prior to that, God had raised up another man, Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, he would have his outreaches, his crusades, and he would have it be integrated. He had people, black, white, Hispanic, it didn't matter. It was about getting them to Jesus, because that was his focus. He wanted to get them to Jesus, and at that point, the Lord would start working in the hearts. And Martin Luther King Jr., he took it to the streets. And once Martin Luther King had prayed at one of the outreaches in New York City, Billy Graham had invited him, and so they struck up a friendship. And they both recognized that they could not work together as far as side by side in every part of ministry, but they each had a philosophy of ministry that was different. One was to the streets, and the other one was into the stadiums. But both of them were with the goal and the purpose of bringing people together. And it was going to happen under Christ. And so I just thought it was a beautiful picture of what could have happened and some things that did not happen even after all that. And so so he raises up this Martin Luther King Jr. and he says, if one recognizes this vital urge that has engulfed the Negro community, one should readily understand the public, why public demonstrations are taking place. The Negro has many pent-up resentments and latent frustrations, and he must release them. So let him march. Let him make prayer pilgrimages to the city hall. Let him go on freedom rides and try to understand why he must do so. If his repressed emotions are not released in nonviolent ways, they will seek expression through violence. This is not a threat, but a fact of history. So I have not said to my people, get rid of your discontent. Rather, I have tried to say that this normal and healthy discontent can be channeled into the creative outlet of nonviolent direct action. And now this approach is being termed extremist. He was called extremist because he wanted to do it this way. And so if you look at the Old Testament, you'll see God raising up numerous prophets. There was one named Amos back in 760 BC. It was during the rule of Kings Jeroboam II and Uzziah. And Amos wrote at a time of relative peace and prosperity, but also there was a neglect of God's laws. And he spoke against an increased disparity between the very wealthy and the very poor. So then in that time and in that place, it was socioeconomic. And he writes this thing here. And he writes it to the religious leaders and all the people. He says, Amos 5:22 says, I want nothing to do with your religion projects. This is God speaking to him as he's speaking to these people. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes. This is in the message. Your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. When I read that, I was like, wow. Obviously, very important for God to say, this is imperative. This is important. This is what my people are supposed to reflect because that's who I am. I'm just. I'm fair. I'm good. I'm loving. And so that wasn't happening during Amos's day. And so then at another time, God raises up Nehemiah. And he says basically the same thing. He says, this place is a wreck. We have to change this. We have to raise up the walls. We have to rebuild the gates. And I believe that this is a great opportunity for us as a people in this town and in this country to make a statement, to change what needs to change. And so it's in us. And I know we have made numerous changes, and we've moved forward in so many ways, but obviously there's still more to do. And so they said, we're with you. Let's get started. And then a cool thing here says, they rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. So it's going to take work, folks. If we're going to want to change what has to happen in this country so that we no longer have massive demonstrations, not only in this country, but all over the world, where people will no longer look at America as like, oh, wow, those guys, they don't take care of their blacks, or they do this, or they do that. We should be a shining light on that hill. This country was established by people that said, we want to see what the scripture says. And how we can establish a country that's based on that, on freedom and equality and justice and all these different words that are used. You read them through the Constitution. That's the goal. That's where we're going. And so he tells the people, Nehemiah tells the people, this is what's happened. This is what we need to do. We're with you. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to work. And this is the key. The high priest, chapter 3, verse 1. The high priest Eliashib and his fellow priests were up and at it. They went to work on the sheep gate. They repaired it and hung its doors, continuing on as far as the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel. Verse 2. The men of Jericho worked alongside them. And next to them, Zakur, son of Imri. If you were to read Nehemiah 3, you will read, and next to them, and next to them, this family. And next to them, this family. And next to them, this family. And next to them, that family. And they built the walls, or they built the gates, or they did this. It was everyone together. different families, different, maybe even different philosophies of how they raise their kids. But they were all united with one goal, and that was to rebuild the gates and the walls so that God's name would be lifted high. You see, I think that's what it's going to take for us. And I titled this message, It Takes a Village. And you've heard the phrase numerous times. It does take a village. It takes all of us together. Changing. All of us. Take a quick look around you. Go ahead. Oh, wait. Every single one of us is different. Every single one of us has had a different life experience. Every single one of us are in a different place spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Every single one of us was created in the image of God. And so we must honor that and recognize that together, side by side, we can rebuild. We can renew. We can have this thing called revival in a practical way when we start working together. Martin Luther King says, "The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. Our ultimate goal is integration, which is genuine intergroup and interpersonal living." In the 60s, the church had an opportunity to lead America towards racial, gender, and spiritual integration. But we didn't. We went and made a few moves, but we did not continue what God had initiated. And so here we are, 50 years later, dealing with this, not the same, but similar to what they struggled with back in the 60s. Now, I was a really young kid during the 60s, so I didn't understand all of that, but I saw enough of it growing up as a kid during that era and seeing enough of it for myself to recognize that I wasn't happy with it. And so I believe that what God is doing now is by placing people, us, together, the fact that we have this COVID thing brings two groups of people or three groups of people that have been meeting at different church buildings or different times, and we're all here together. This is an opportunity that we have to be able to, the word is integrate. Integration means the act of combining or adding parts to make a unified whole. It could be merging a racial or religious group with an existing community. I love the merging a racial or religious group with an existing community. There are different forms of integration. There are social integration. The scripture says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." There's also gender integration. Women and children, it says, Acts 2:17. When the Spirit of God had fallen upon the church community and they went out and the people were like, "What in the world happened to these people?" Peter preaches and he says, and he quotes a scripture, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams." I'm still seeing visions, by the way. "Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." He was saying that my Spirit is going to fall on all mankind. Men and women. I thank God for this woman that God has brought into my life, because her spiritual walk with God has challenged mine. And a lot of what I have learned has been from her perceptions of what God has given her. Do we agree doctrinally? No. if you were to write down everything that where we're at, you would say, wow, that's pretty interesting. How do you guys do this? Well, we do because I trust her walk with God. I see what God is doing in her life. I know the Lord is in her life. And I trust that. We may have a disagreement with some of those minor doctrinal points, but I totally agree with her walk with God. And so I could look at every single one of you, and we could sit down long enough, and we could disagree on something. Pastor Ron, I know as brilliant as he is, I know we're not going to be on the same page doctrinally. We're not. But that's okay, because he's a man of God. And he's married to a woman of God, who God has taken through to a deep walk with God, using writings from other people, the Desert Fathers, and other folks that God has used to bring her to a place of understanding that has been able to influence you and us. You see, the Spirit of God lands on humanity when the heart is open to the Lord. That, I think, is the key. In Acts 15:7-9, this is when they were talking about, oh, you must be circumcised if you want to be a follower of Christ. And then Peter's like, wait, time out, hold on. And a bunch of elders and some of the apostles got together and the elders. And in Acts 15:7-9, it says, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, show that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. And I will close with a little couple things that I have in my hand. We are created in the image of God. If we were to try to draw what the image of God, what God would look like based on the image of God, we could draw with a pencil. And some people are really good. I've seen some incredible artwork with just a pencil. Being able to do some beautiful shading, and it's just incredible. Just incredible. But it's just one color. So you have the color of the lead and you have the color of the paper. And that's all you have to work with. And so all you could do is shade it a certain way so it kind of looks like a certain thing. But it's not the perfect representation. You guys remember this? This is given to every kid usually when they're in kindergarten. What I love about it is what it represents. It represents a lot of color, kind of like this shirt. I love a lot of color. Not as much as my wife does, because I usually like to wear blue and gray and black and jeans. But these colors, if I were to use all of these colors and try to draw the image of God, I guarantee you that it would look different from if I just use this. You see, I think this is the better reflection of what the image of God looks like. Multiple people, multiple lands, multiple expressions, having different walks with God that God is revealing to them. And as we are all under the banner of Christ, under Jesus, we can reflect better the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. And so I want to challenge all of us, myself included, to look at some ways that we can integrate better. That we can have the conversation. I'm speaking to you in English. We have, I don't know what the percentage is here in this community. We have folks that don't speak English. And many of them know Jesus. We need to integrate. we can be the expression of the Christian body of Christ, the body of Christ on this island with its very varied manifestations. We can be the people that can make a difference in this town and be an example to the rest of the land. This land is in desperate need of peace and justice, but most especially love. And I know that we have the love of God inside each one of us. So whatever it takes, let's do this. Let's be like the crayon, the multiple colors. Amen? Thank you.
Amen and amen. Thank you. And again, yes, you are a colorful guy. And I have to admit, however, that I am still stumped. I mean, you got a beautiful, colorful shirt, but somebody has actually gone one above you, and that is Shelly. She matches her mask with her shoes. That's the first time I have seen mask and shoes. I've seen mask and clothes, mask and shirt, sweater, mask and shoes. Shelly, that is amazing. What an example of integration. And yes, you two are an incredible example of integration. And my wife and I do look up to you, and it's in understanding what goes on between the two of you that helps in what goes on between the two of us. I have a story I want to tell about, it's kind of about integration, integrating ourselves in this environment, in this life that we live in, and how we integrate often with one another. And it's especially important for people of faith to understand that integration comes first and foremost in and through our faith, and then projects out into life. It was about 10 years ago, my wife was cooking a tri-tip. Oh, and it was perfectly seasoned. She did a great job. It was done. I was cutting it. I had my cell phone there on the table as I was cutting it, and I noticed as I was carving this beautiful tri-tip that end piece, was that, you know, a little chunk of fat that just has all that pepper and everything on it. So I did. I cut it off, and I stuck it in my mouth, and I was sucking on it while I was carving the rest of the tri-tip. And the phone rang. It was on vibrate, and it vibrated right over to the edge of the table and off. And so I reached down, and I caught the phone, but I swallowed the tri-tip. And it was a good chunk. And you're remembering this now, aren't you, Santa? And it stuck right here. And it would not go down. I couldn't even swallow, you know, the saliva that was trying to wash it down. And so it's kind of gross, but about every 3 to 5 minutes, I was kind of having to go into the bathroom and go, bleh, of the stuff that was collecting. It wouldn't go away, and I had to go to work that night, work graveyard. And so I did. I went to work, carried a little bag with me. I told them I'd be out in the boat, not inside the office, because out in the boat I can just, you know, take care of things. But it was an amazing night, actually, because I went out a couple of miles offshore, and I shut the boat down as I normally do between like 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, had some time with God, and there was this pod of dolphin that just wouldn't leave. They kind of seemed to know that I was in trouble, and that I needed someone. And so God and the dolphin, we had fun that night. And it stayed there until the morning. And I just could not get rid of it. I could not. I could breathe, but I couldn't take any water. And I was getting a little dehydrated. So on my wife's urging, when I got off work that morning, I did go to the clinic, the medical clinic. And the biggest blessing was, who was there at the clinic to greet me? And what was the first thing that she did to and for me, other than anything medical? She prayed. She prayed with me. That calmed me down. She, in her prayer, it was very straightforward. you know, let's get this done, God. Let's get this out. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get it out. I had to go. Yeah, one way or the other. I had to go and let God's doctor do it. But it was the most amazing thing to go up to the health clinic and realize there's a precious sister in Christ there that was willing to first and foremost meet my spiritual needs. And that's what we have to do as far as town is concerned. Integrate from the spiritual to the physical. From the spiritual out. And each and every person in this town is going to be affected if we learn how to integrate that way. Amen? Father, your plan for our renewal, we want to be our plan. And so, yes, we ask that you would show us what your plan is and that we would take the time, Father, to listen. We would take the time to find out what it is that you will so it could be our will as well. And then take the time to see the opportunities that you open up for us in the here and in the now and in the future. We promise to be ready. To be ready for when your Holy Spirit shows us the time is right and he empowers us to stand and deliver, to rebuild, to restore, and to renew. And you are giving us that readiness now. You are giving us that time now. Because the truth is, we have received power. Just as the early Christian church was promised and did receive power from on high, the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we wait on you for your will to be discovered, for your timing to become clear, and your body to become rebuilt, restored, renewed in this town of Avalon and over this island of Catalina. And so empower us with a deep conviction. Empower us with a self-denying courage. And empower us with an irresistible wisdom for faithfully understanding your Son Jesus and his function in this world. Why he truly came, and that is to save not just those who we prefer, who we know, but it's to save all mankind. And it's in his powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Let's close in some songs together. And this is Build Your Kingdom. Great, I think, fitting song for following the message here and all that's been shared this morning. So let's sing it together.
Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, sweet day.
Amen. Well, before you guys go out today, just a reminder, Karen's been doing such a great job of just providing flowers that are around the tables that you see every week. When you do see her, just thank her for those, by the way. But if you are at all interested in flowers to take with you, leave the jars, but you can go around the tables before you leave. And if you want one of those or a couple of those, take those flowers home with you and be blessed, and let them continue to be beautiful in your setting with you. But we just wanted to let you know about that before you step out. We're just going to close one song as you guys go, but hang in fellowship. No rush out of this place. Just continue to praise God for His goodness in our lives and the ways that He works. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great rest of your day and weekend.